Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Thank you, Father, for your love, your grace, your goodness. Thank you for who you are, and thank you that you are a good, good Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your Son. Thank you that you've dealt with sin so we don't have to. And thank you that we are empowered to live the abundant life in Christ. Amen. Awesome. So, tonight, the title of my talk is The Power to Live Supernaturally. Now, who wants to live supernaturally? I mean, that's really awesome. Naturally is just so boring. It's so last year. It's so natural. What I like about supernatural, for a Christian, it's super and it's natural. Because we live the supernatural life. We live the life of Christ. We live the life of victory. We live the abundant life. Jesus said, I came to give life and give that life in abundance. I came to give abundance. I came to give my life. And He, being a spiritual being, came to give His life, giving His spiritual life. So our dead spirits could awake, and that is revive. Revival, meaning from death to life. So if you are alive and you're alive in your spirit, you don't need any revival. Because revival are only for dead people. But we need to go into the dead world and show them that Christ has died for them. Christ has paid for them. Christ breathed out His life, His supernatural life, so that we can breathe it in. And then we'll see revival, because then we breathe out the very life of Christ that is inside of us so that others could breathe it in. You see, Jesus bowed His head and He blowed out His last breath, and then it was finished. Just like God blew into the nostrils of Adam the very life, the very essence of God, which he gave up when he ate of that fruit. Now, I don't know what fruit it is, but it doesn't really matter. The fact is that he died as a spiritual being in that very moment, because otherwise God is a liar. God said, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Now, he didn't just fall over, and God is not a liar, so it means that his spirit died. But Jesus came and he said, I gave you life the first time at creation. You chose to die. I'll give it again. I'll give you my life. I'll give you the very life, the very essence of God, and I'll breathe it out so you can breathe it in. So I want to invite you tonight to breathe it in. Breathe in God. Breathe in all His goodness. Breathe in that life that is God, and live a life of freedom. Live a life of abundance. Live a supernatural life, a life of power. This week, when you feel anxiety, it's because you're not breathing. When you feel sickness, it's because you're not breathing properly. So get calm, focus on God, and breathe in. And every time you breathe in God. And you make that a thing in your mind, and I'm breathing in Jesus. Jesus blew out His breath so I can breathe it in. When Jesus rose from the dead, and He met with His disciples, He breathed over them. And that's when they got born again. That's when they believed that He was risen. They were baptized in the Spirit, and that's the power that we'll look at tonight. So Mark 16 from verse 15 says, and He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So Jesus says, I've got a specific job for you. I want you to go all over, and I want you to preach one thing. And that one thing is not the Bible. That one thing is the gospel. That is the good news. That is the almost too good to be true news. That news is so good that if you share it with someone, people will look at you and say, sure, I don't know. That's almost too good to be true. I don't know if I believe it. And then you say, yes, it is true, because it's true in my life, because this is where I was. This is where I'm now. Christ is alive in me. I'm a born-again believer. I'm free. I'm a new creation, and I'm living proof. And then they believe. And then they ask you for the hope that is in you, because you have the answer, because they see the hope. They see the hope, and they come to the light. Even moths come to light. Have you noticed? Mosquitoes come to light. So be the light. Be the light of the world. Shine the light of Jesus. Let it shine in you, through you, and let the world change because of the light that is in you. The moment you switch on the light, the darkness is gone. Darkness can never overpower you. Natasha shared it. You have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That is also the kingdom of light. Once your light shines, you cannot add more darkness into a room with a light. You can add more light, but you cannot add more darkness. Mark 16, 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. So, if you are following someone, or if someone is following you, one is ahead and one is behind. So if you look in the rear view mirror and you realize someone is following you, it means you going in a certain direction. And then they are following you. So look very clearly at the scripture. It says, the signs will follow you. So you step out, you go out into all the world, and the signs follow you. The problem is, if you follow the signs, it means you're going in the wrong direction. Jesus said, go into all the world, and I will send signs with you. The signs will confirm the word. Yes, there's signs. We are supernatural beings. We are living the abundant life of Christ. And we'll look at what we've got now. And we've got the power to live supernaturally, but we're not following signs. In Jesus' time, who asked for signs? The scribes and the Pharisees. They said, show us a sign and we'll believe. Jesus says, I've got a message for you. We use great plainness of speech, the words of Paul. Paul did many miracles. But God confirms the word with miracles. At the men's camp, we had awesome testimony. We were just sharing testimonies, enjoying time, sharing gospel, chatting. We didn't pray for anyone yet. We didn't lay hands on anyone yet. One guy put up his hand. He said, I've got a testimony. I'm like, okay, we're all sharing testimonies. He says, but it happened now. I'm like, okay. He said, I took off my glasses when we played touch rugby or played soccer. I never put them back on, and I can see. I could never see here. I couldn't see 3 meters, I think was his words. Now I can read your t-shirt. I can read your t-shirt. Confirming the word with signs following. So we're not following signs. Signs are following us. Only if we preach the right word. Because it's a confirmation of the word that we share. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Those are the last words of Jesus. The last words that he says, I want to give you famous last words. The famous last words is go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I'll send signs. I'll confirm the word with signs. But you don't follow the signs. The signs follow you. So, Jesus said, before you go into all the world and do this great mighty miracles and things, go and wait. Isn't that just so typical of the gospel? Relax, rest, receive. So they're super pumped. They want to go. They want to change the world. Jesus says, whoop, relax. Go and rest, and you will receive. Because you see, it's not your ability. It's not you that do the things. It's not you that live the supernatural life. It is actually Christ in you that is the hope of glory. It is Christ in you that makes all things possible. It is Christ in you that wants to give you his ability and his power. Acts 1:8, speaking about Pentecost, the day we celebrate today in the church. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Who of you have a picture of Christianity that is powerless? I do. Not anymore, but there's a lot of Christians who live powerless. Think of school. The Christian kids are not the powerful kids. They're not the cool kids. If you share a message at school and people start getting up out of wheelchairs, healed, delivered, prospered, made whole, you'll be the cool kid. You'll be the light in that dark place. But we're timid. Church mouse. You shouldn't be. You're powerful. You've got the ability. The dunamis is the word there. Dunamis means like an engine that moves. It gives it ability. And it's not just any power. It's not just any ability. It's the ability of God. You have the ability of God to change the world, to impact the world, to love the world. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The love of God always has a purpose, and the purpose is the whole world. He said, you will go out into the whole world. I was thinking about it this afternoon, when God said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his son. He sent him to earth. There was millions and billions of other planets that he could have sent him to. But he sent him here. Because you were here. He sent him here because he came to save you. And he wanted you to relate to God on a personal, intimate, one-to-one level. That's why he sent Christ to this planet. What are the odds? God created the universe. We're not the center of the universe. I don't think so. We're not the center of our own solar system. But you're the center of God, the apple of his eye, the center of his love. The very reason that he gave Holy Spirit was because he wanted you to be impacted and out of that overflow to change the world. The only reason that we can share the gospel tonight is because someone has shared it with us. The only reason that we know the good news is because someone told us. And those people were empowered. They had the ability of God to package it, to share it, to declare it, so that we could understand it. So that we could get saved. And now out of that, we say, this is my story. This is my good news. This is my good news story. You want to hear my story? And your story is full of Jesus. By sharing your story shares Jesus. Your story. I cannot share your story. I can share my story. You share your story, and your story is full of Jesus. I hope so. If it isn't, we'll give you the opportunity and we'll make it full of Jesus. And then you won't help but share, because Jesus is overflowing. He said, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. You see, God is not a God of drought, and we'll pray for that in a moment, because he's the one of rivers. And I love that song, rivers get ready. Valleys get ready, because the river of God is coming. In the religion, in the Christianity, get ready, because the drought is done with. The Spirit is coming. The Spirit is flowing. The Spirit is stirring up. We're not going to have a dead, dry Christianity anymore. We're going to have a powerful, life-giving, overflowing. That is what this world needs. Light, life, live. You have the power. Acts 1:8. If you have Holy Spirit, you have the power. If you have the will, you have the willpower to change the world. So God gave you the power, but you need to decide if it's your will. If you will, and you have the power, you've got the willpower to change the world. God said, I'm not going to force this on you. You go for it if you want to. But if you want to, I've enabled you. What a beautiful dad. What a precious father, just giving you everything you need and say, there's the road, choose life. But it's your choice. I give you the answer, I give you the ability, I give you everything you ever need. I give you more, I give you abundance. I give you the hyper grace. I give you everything. But I'm not forcing you. So if you have the will, you have the willpower. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. What is the power of God? It. What is it? The gospel. The good news. If you want to operate in the power of God, I have good news for you tonight. You can. Share your good news story. The power of God is not just smoke and mirrors. The power of God is not gold dust. It is not following after signs. It is going on into the world with your message. Being enabled, being empowered, being fully capable of sharing your message, and God coming behind you, confirming the word with signs following. So that is how we operate in the power of God. We share the message, we share the good news, we share the gospel unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now we're looking a bit about Holy Spirit and the anointing and Acts 1:8, because that is what Pentecost is all about tonight. And it's really exciting. I want to really challenge you tonight to think with me. Think with me and forget what you know about Holy Spirit if it's bad. If it's scary, if it's gloomy, if you don't understand it. I want to share with you tonight, and we'll look at Luke 4:18, and it says, Jesus reading from the scriptures, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now that's quite a proclamation to make. In those days, there were certain people with the Spirit of God on them. David was one of them. Saul before him, but then the Spirit of God left him and went on to David. So where today we can stand and say, the Spirit of God is on me, and it's on Yanu, and it's on Jesma, and it's on Etienne, because that is the age and the covenant under which we live. When Jesus stood up and said this, it was like, whoa, Are you sure? You're not supposed to say this of yourself. I mean, Samuel said it of David. The prophets came and gave the Spirit and anointed them with oil, and then they did the work of God. Now Jesus stands up and like, where's Samuel? Or where's the prophet that anointed you, Jesus? But Jesus came as a prophet. So he could prophesy over himself. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. So Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because... Okay, let's pause there. Because, why? If God does something, there's a reason for it. I tell my wife often, if I ask for something or if I think of something, there's usually a reason for it. Not always, I would say 99%. And I'll show her the reason a bit later sometimes, but there is a reason. Because God gave, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of God was upon Jesus because. Because why? Because he has anointed me. He's empowered me. He's given me the power to do something. That is why I'm anointed. That's why I've got the Spirit. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So he didn't just have Holy Spirit, nice, now I'm catered for, cared for. Thank you, God. See you in heaven one day. He got the abilities for a purpose. There was a job to be done. And God said, this is the job, but this is the empowering. You have everything you need. Now look at why Jesus had Holy Spirit. This is what this scripture says. There's a reason that he had him. There was a work to be done. And I want to show you the nature and the character of Holy Spirit tonight. It says, anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the gospel to the poor. It's key words, those. Jesus had the power of God, the Spirit upon him, the anointing of Holy Spirit, to do preaching of the gospel to the poor. If you read in Isaiah 61, it says the same scripture that Jesus quoted to the meek, those that are teachable, those that will listen. But the empowering of God in is to preach the gospel. Another thing he says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Why do I have the Spirit? Because I've got a job to do, and this job is to heal the brokenhearted. So I need the Spirit of God to do this job. I need the Spirit of God to heal the brokenhearted. That must mean that the Spirit of God is pretty good in healing broken hearts. Because otherwise, Jesus wouldn't say, I need him to do this. But that is what he's good at. To preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost to do five things: to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. So tonight I've got good news for you. If you in any of those categories, if you are poor, brokenhearted, captive, blind, or bruised, in any area of your life, I've got the answer for you. The answer is Holy Spirit. Because that is his speciality. If you need a specialist in a sickness, if you need a specialist in poor, if you need a specialist that deals with broken hearts, if you need a specialist that deals with a captive, and that is spiritually captive and in your mind as well, if you need a specialist on the blind and the bruised, I've got the answer for you. It is Christ. That is what the anointing was for. That is what the Spirit of God came upon him to do. Not just to... Nice. It's all right. I hear you. No. To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, not partially. Blindness, you are gone in the name of Jesus. You recover. That is my job. That's how I do things around here. When Holy Spirit shows up, the blind are recovered. To set at liberty, to make free them that are bruised. That is the job and the anointing that Jesus had, and that is the empowering that he had from the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Okay, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and with Holy Ghost comes power. Same word, dunamis, the ability of God. Why? What did he do once he's gotten that power? He said, went about doing good and healing all. Some, a few, one or two, and like he felt. Not what my Bible says. He healed them all. Who did he heal? Those that were oppressed of the devil. Don't come and tell me sickness comes from God. Not in my Bible. Not my God. Not my dad. Sickness comes from the devil. And Jesus healed them all. He healed them all. Why? Why did he do this? Why could he do this? For God was with him. Why? Because the Spirit of God was with him. He was anointed with Holy Spirit. He was full of power. He was full of grace. He was full of truth. And he went about doing good and healing all. That is what we've got inside of us. That is the message. So, who is this Holy Ghost? What is he like? You have a picture in your mind. You have an ideology. You have an idea. You have a view of how you see Holy Spirit. And I want to take you on this journey tonight. One way that we can get to know people, because Holy Spirit is a person. It's a spiritual person, but it's still a person. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a relationship with him. One way is to hear what other people say about people. Nicknames. If you hear about a guy that's called Tiny, there's one of two things. He's either very tiny or he's huge. That's just how we work. I don't know how, but Tiny is usually the biggest guy in the room. But that says something. It's a characteristic of that person in the name. So Jesus said, or the word speaks about Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, that's beautiful. Alexander the Great, he thought he's something, but we've got Jesus Christ, the righteous. Your righteousness. It tells me something about Jesus. Jesus, Son of God. Something that they said about him. So, the first word, the first name that Holy Spirit is called that I want to look at tonight is the Comforter. John 16, verse 7. The Comforter. Now, just pause for a moment and think about what you know. We usually have this picture, or we taught the picture, that you've got two shoulders. Now, you've got two shoulders for a reason. It's because one is for the devil, and one is for the Holy Spirit. And you've got these two voices, and they're fighting. And the one that you turn your ear to, that's the one you're obviously listening to. And I want to tell you that's not true. Jeremiah 33 says, hear the voice behind you. A voice, singular, saying this is the way, walk you in it. There's one voice that you listen to, and that is not one shoulder, the other shoulder. That is the voice inside of you. But to take that picture further, it's called the Comforter, not the Accuser, not the Convictor, even though that is something that he does that we'll look at now, but very different than what we might think. If he's called the Comforter, that tells you something. If you hear about Jono the Comforter, even if you've never seen him, you have an expectation. You have an idea what this guy's like. We're going to have to save Matthew now. No, I'm joking. The Comforter. Do you see Holy Spirit as the Comforter? Be honest with yourself. Don't yes or no me. Yes or no yourself. If you think about Holy Spirit, do you think about a Comforter? Or do you think about that guy that's sort of in the way when you want to do wrong and he's nagging in your ear not to do it because somehow he's got your best intentions at heart? If you don't see him as the Comforter, you're missing out. Because that is who he is. If you don't know me, you're missing out on what I've got to give. And if you have a wrong impression of me, it's also false. So you're not going to receive what you think you're going to receive. You're going to come to me and you're not going to receive what you were told or what people have said. So, now as awesome as it was to have Jesus walking this earth, these are his words. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or it is better for you that I go away. Wow. But Jesus, you healed all. You did all. You turned the temple around. You put those religious Pharisees in their place. now you say it's better for me if you go away. Like, I don't know. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. So see how it works. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his Son. Jesus so loved us that he sent his Spirit. And that Spirit is called the Comforter. You see, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. So why would he send you anyone that is different to the Father? If God the Father is not an accuser, why would his Spirit be? If God the Father, the very nature, the word Father, if you were here this morning, you'd know what I'm talking about. The very nature of Father is comfort. It's safety. It is provision. So the very nature that is the Spirit which we've got means comforter. Not accuser. Establisher is another word that I like. It's not in the word, but it establishes you in your identity time and time and time and time again. If I don't go, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send him unto you. There's a reason that he's here. Jesus sent him. That's the reason. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Whoop, Peter, I knew the scriptures in the Bible. And you were talking different the whole night. Because we stop here. And we shouldn't. So, what is the work of the Comforter? What is the work of the Comforter? Key word. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Not very comforting. Or is it? The word reprove there is convict, bring to light, or expose. Now, if you know God is a good God, you're not scared that he's going to expose you for anything or any of your dirty, dark secrets, because he's the Comforter. That's who he is. But let's go further. So the work of the Holy Spirit is what he will do is he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, I said, Holy Spirit accuses you of sin. No, he doesn't. It's not accusation, the word that was used. It was reprove, which is bring to light or expose of sin. And then he explains it, because they believe not on me. So what is the one sin that Holy Spirit will convict you of? What is the one sin that he will enlighten you of? That you don't believe in Christ. Okay, and now where's the next part of the list? Let's go on. Verse 10. Oh. No other sins. So where's all the other sins that he's going to convict me of, that he's accused of? You see, he's not the accuser, but we've accused him of so many things in this world. We've accused him of being the accuser. As messed up as that sounds. Where he is the Comforter all along. Yes, he is highlighting sin, and that is one sin if you believe not on Jesus. So the moment you believe in Jesus, there's nothing for him to do with sin in your life. He's done his job. It is finished. It is done. If you've done your day's work, you're done. You don't go back there. So the moment you believe in Christ, he moves on from sin, because that's the only sin that will get you into hell, if you don't believe in Christ. He goes on. He reproves. He exposes righteousness. Whoa. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. If you don't see Jesus and you know he's with the Father, Holy Spirit will convict you that you are righteous. He will expose to you. Where's Jesus? He's with the Father. Why? Because he died and he rose again. The word says that he rose again for your righteousness. He died for your sins. He rose for your righteousness. So where is Jesus? Holy Spirit is asking you that tonight. Where is Jesus? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Where are you? Ephesians 2:6. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Why? Because you are righteous. So Holy Spirit is going to convict you of your righteousness. He's going to convict you. He's going to bring to light. He's going to expose your righteousness by reminding you that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father and you're right there with him. That means you're right to be there. You are righteous. Okay, 11 of judgment. Oh, Peter, I told you. It's there. It's in my Bible. Okay, let's go on. Because the prince of this world is judged. Now show me, please, where you fit in that scripture. Yes, Holy Spirit exposes, brings to light, and convicts of judgment, and reminds you constantly, daily, every moment that you let him. There's one guy that is judged, and that is not you. That is the guy that is trying to make a noise in your ear. So while you remember that he is judged, while I'm remembering you or reminding you that he's judged, why don't you just tell him to bugger off? You judged thing, you. Go. Don't listen to him. He's judged. It means he's convicted. It means he's sentenced. It means he was spoiled. It means he was made a fool. He's the father of lies. And he's judged. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will expose the fact that your enemy, the prince of this world, is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Luckily, we're not living in that now, because that now was before the cross. So Jesus speaks and he gets excited and he says, I'm going to send you the Comforter, which is my Holy Spirit. I'm going to send him because I love you. He's going to comfort you. This is his work. This is what he does. I have many more things to say, but I cannot bear. You cannot bear them now. Why? He's speaking to carnal beings. He's speaking to unreborn people. He's speaking to people under the law. But he goes on. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Okay. When did the Spirit of truth come? Acts 2. The day of Pentecost. The day we celebrate today. So the Spirit of truth has come because Jesus sent him, because Jesus went away. So now he's come. Now we can understand all things. The mysterious God is the God of the Old Testament. The God that reveals everything that he has to us is the God of the New Testament. Because now you can understand spiritual because you've got Holy Spirit, you've got the mind of Christ, you've got Christ that is your wisdom, and you've got the Holy Spirit that leads you into all truth. If you go on a tour, you need a tour guide. Why? Because he leads you where you should go. If you don't have that tour guide, you can't go into all the places that he's going to take you. Yet we want to understand the Word, we understand the Bible, we understand Christianity. We want to without being led by the Spirit of truth. And then we don't realize why we don't understand what's going on here. Because we're trying to understand a spiritual word with natural minds. And then we come up with religion. Because then we can control. Because this is too big, we don't understand it. Yes, you don't. You've got the ability of God, you've got the Spirit of truth. Then you can understand. And then he will lead you into all truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you have the Spirit of truth, he will lead you into all of Jesus, which is all of the truth. He will lead you into all that your inheritance is. Inheritance means someone died. Guess what? Jesus did. It's yours. It's yours because he died. You can only inherit something if someone dies. Jesus died, so it's yours. Holy Spirit will reveal that to you because he's the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. If you want to test the Spirit, see if he glorifies Jesus. False prophets, false doctrines, false spirits won't glorify Jesus. Holy Spirit does. Because that's the very essence, that's the very person that sent him. That's the very nature which they share. The Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. Went about healing? All. Same word. All truth. Whatever you want to know, ask God. It's not withholding it from you. He will lead you and guide you. Yes, there will be steps that you need to take. You'll need to grow into it and build onto it and find revelations that build onto each other. It's a journey, but it's an awesome adventure. And you'll begin to understand. You'll be able to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Only with the Spirit of God will you be able to do that. Otherwise, you're going to find a schizophrenic God in here. And that's not who he is. 2 Corinthians 3, from verse 12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look at the end of what was being, which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. He is the one that will reveal Christ in you. Now, quickly want to show you a picture. Think about a wedding. And the bride comes down the aisle. There's a red carpet. She's coming down. And she's got a veil. Now she's got Moses on the one side and Jesus on the other side. You are the bride of Christ. You're not the bride of Moses. Moses does not want to marry you. It's critical. Because you might want to marry him. He does not want to marry you. If you turn to him, the veil remains over your eyes because he doesn't want to kiss you. He doesn't want to marry you. If you turn to Jesus, the veil is taken away and you see all things clear. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the longer you turn to Moses, there's nothing there for you. The Lord does not want to marry you. As soon as you turn away from it and you turn towards Christ, the veil is taken away from you and you understand all things. You understand the word. You understand the covenants. Verse 16 there, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. You're not free if you're behind a veil because you're going to stumble and fall. Turn to Christ. He'll take the veil off and you'll see clearly as things were ever were. If you're behind the veil, that doesn't change the reality outside the veil. What is true is still true outside the veil. You just can't see it. When that veil is taken away, you read this Bible, it's like, is this the same Bible that I read way back? Is this the same Bible that I got all those condemnation out of? You can't believe it. I mean, I went to Bible schools that teached on Ephesians, and this is not what they taught. Turn to Christ. The veil is taken away. Okay, quickly, to give you one more example. Luke 15, verse 11, starts with the prodigal son. Same bit of a topic that we had this morning, so I was smiling when he spoke about that this morning. The prodigal son. So what happens? He says, Dad, give me your money. I want you dead. He doesn't say it in that words, but that's basically what he meant. He said, I want my inheritance. Again, when do you get your inheritance? When someone dies. So he went and he wasted all of it. Riotous living. It's nice words. He wasted it in the worst way possible. In a short period of time, I believe as well. So he comes to his senses and he's like, okay, the pigs are doing better than me. That's the realization that he comes to. As a Jew, he realizes this filthy thing is better in a better spot than me. Because he's got food, I don't. He's got a place to stay. That pig that's got a place to stay, but I don't. So what does he do? He says, I'll go back to my father. But not as a father, as a slave, as a servant. My father has jobs. I need a job because I need food because I can eat. So just maybe my father will give me a job. Why? Because I'm not his son anymore. Because I wish that he was dead. So if my dad is dead, I'm not his son. But I want to be his servant. Then at least I can eat. So he comes to sort of his senses. As soon as he's out of the world, he realizes and he remembers there's something good back home. So sometimes we're so caught up in the world that we don't realize or we don't remember that there's a good God. When we get out of that, no matter how you do that, then we realize there's someone that cares. There's someone, there's a comforter. There's a father. When there's a father and there's a comforter, there's hope. So, what does he do? Let's look at it from, what's it, Luke? Luke 15. Verse 18 says, I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Oh, because why? I need to repent, man. I need to tell him everything. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off. Okay, so that's not just around the corner. That's a great way off. That is far. That is as far as you can see, probably. His father saw him. Now, when you see your son that wished that you were dead, that went and squandered all your money, there's an emotion, there's a reaction the moment you see him. Now, you can decide for yourself how you would have felt. But it goes and it says, and had compassion. So the father sees the son in dire straits, but he knows it's his son. And he has compassion. That's the first thing that rises in him. Why? He's the comforter. That's the nature of who he is. His son needs comfort. He is the comforter. So I'm going to comfort my son. So what does he do? His father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, be very clear here that the son wasn't the one that ran. He was maybe like taking very small steps, very slowly, checking this thing out. The father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I want you to focus on that word fell just for a moment. It is a very interesting word. It means he totally embraced him. It is the word epipito. Means fall upon, embrace with affection, to rush or press upon, to fall into one's embrace, to seize or take possession of. That is how the father embraced him. Think about a guy scoring a goal and then they just celebrate. But this is different because this is compassion. This is not pride. This is not competitiveness. This is compassion. So he doesn't let go. And he keeps hold, and he holds him, and he embraces him, and he's showing him, he's loading those family energy and saying, you're my son. Without a word, he's comforting him, he's accepting him, he's making sure that he knows this is where you belong. And he's holding on very tightly. He takes or seizes and takes possession of him, saying, you are my son. They haven't spoken. The father fell. That is the word. I'm going to say it again. It's epipito, fall upon, embrace with affection, to rush or press upon, to fall into one's embrace, to seize or take possession of him. The same word, fell, epipito, is used in Acts 8:16. It says, for as yet was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, speaking about Holy Spirit. Acts 10:44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. While Peter spoke, and I always laugh at this scripture, then you guys need to watch out. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. So we have a picture in mind, Holy Ghost falling, fire cloud. Sort of weird, sort of, should I take it? Is it for me? Is it for all Christians? What happens is Holy Ghost fall upon, embraces with affection, rush or press upon, fall into one's embrace to seize and take possession of. Just like the Father ran towards the Son, that is our Holy Ghost falls on you. Same Greek word. Not like, no, you mine. I'm the comforter. I'm comforting you. This is where you belong. You are mine. We're going to do this together. We're empowered. Me and you. We family. Embracing you. falling upon you, not letting you go, making sure that everyone can see, this is my son. No matter what you do, how you smell, or what you look like. When Peter spoke these words, Holy Spirit fell on all them. Acts 11:15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us in the beginning. The Comforter has only one way to fall on upon you, and that is exactly the same way that Father fell upon the prodigal son. Kissing him, embracing him, owning him, loving him, comforting him, because he is the Comforter. He is the Comforter who embraces us with a loving affection, who empowers us with love and kindness, who proves the words that we speak and the good news which we share with signs following, saying, yes, this is my son. He's not crazy. He's speaking the truth. He's speaking about healing. I'm going to show you. It says in the word that whoever puts their trust in God will not be put to shame. What did Peter do? He got out of the boat. I mean, that's the time to, if you ever had to share your most embarrassing moment, you setting yourself up for that. Everyone's telling you, no, you can't. You're going to drown. You're like, I'm drowning anyway. The boat's full of water. But I'm holding on to this man-made thing. I'm just going to go for Jesus. I'm going to step out. Because why? He's the Comforter. And what happened? Peter walks on water. The first step that he takes, he walks on water. Somehow we think we're going to take one deep step and sort of then the next one will be, no. I can testify this in my own life. You get out of the boat, the first step that you take, you walk on water if your eyes are on Jesus. Going towards him, then what does he do? He looks around him. Oh, you sinner, Peter, you small faith guy, you. God must be so angry. God is going to turn away from you if you take your eyes off of him. No, what does Jesus do? In an instant, he's there. He picks him up. He saves him. He comforts him. He takes him back to the boat. The moment you fail, God runs to you, just like the prodigal son's dad ran to him. As soon as you let him save you, he will. He's waiting for you to say, save me. Not me anymore. Not my life. I'm going to stop trying. I can't give you anything, God. I can't give you my life, but I need your life. I need your Holy Spirit. I need your comfort. I need your power. I need your ability. I need your dunamis power. Not just for my own life, but for the world. Because the world needs to know God as the Comforter, not the accuser. A loving father who runs towards the son that wished that he was dead, the son that smelled of pigs, and then started to travel. You do the math. He runs towards him. He falls upon him. He embraces him, just like Holy Spirit today wants to embrace you. So I want you to stand to your feet, close your eyes, and I'm going to pray for us. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you that you are beautiful, you are perfect, and that is exactly how you see us. Thank you that you embrace us with loving kindness, with tender mercies. Thank you that goodness and mercy follows us every single day of our lives. Thank you that you're our shepherd that we shall never want, that we shall never lack, because we are sons of the living God. The moment we turn to you, there's a party. The moment we just give you half an inch, you take all of us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're not the accuser of the brethren. There's someone else, and he's defeated, and that's his name. Thank you, Father, that you sent us the Comforter. You sent us your Son because you loved us, and your Son sent us the Comforter because he loved us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here right now. And I want you to just, if you've never received Holy Spirit, just invite him into your life right now. Say with open arms, Comforter, come into my life. If you're not baptized in the Spirit, invite Jesus and ask Jesus, Jesus, give me your Comforter. You do that for yourself right now. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. He is the Comforter. He wants to comfort you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to love you. The Father is moved with compassion. And when the Father is moved, great things happen. He's moved already. He's moved right into your life. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has got three things to do. He convicts you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because you believe not on Christ. So if you're there tonight and you feel that knocking, it is Holy Spirit saying, do you believe that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead and that He is Lord? If you want to open the door right now, I give you the opportunity. Just say, come into my life. I expect and receive all of you, Jesus. I turn to you. And as you turn to Christ, just see that veil being taken off your heart and your mind and your eyes, and you'll just become to realize who God is, the Comforter, the goodness, the love. Just turn to Jesus, turn away from the Lord, turn away from your self-effort, turn towards Jesus and let Him take that veil off of your heart. See how He takes every pain, every hurt, every suffering off of your shoulders right now in Jesus' name. The Word says that if we come to Him, if we humble ourselves and we give all our worries to Him, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. The Comforter cares about you and He cares for you. Just unhook that trailer with your old story and walk away from it into your new story. Just leave the junk and the hurt and the pain behind tonight. And run to the arms of the Comforter who is already running towards you with open arms, with compassion, falling upon you, embracing you, loving you, kissing you nonstop. Like a bridegroom kisses his bride, like a father kisses his son, loving all of you, loving you so much. I want to share with you tonight that the reason God sent the Holy Spirit is because we needed Him. You need Him. And if you realize who He is as a person, the Comforter, you will want Him. Because He's going to set you free from so many things. He's going to convict you. He's going to expose the fact that you are righteous to you constantly. He's going to just empower you to live in your true identity as son of God, daughter of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That is what He's going to say. Beloved, you beloved, you beloved, you are the son of God. No matter what your boss says, your parents, no one, your ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend, you are the beloved. Even if they don't love you, you are the beloved. Jesus came and He said, I came and the Spirit of God anointed me. He prepared me. He made the abilities available to me to preach the good news to the poor. So we need good news. To heal the brokenhearted. Because there's nothing that hurts as much as a broken heart. To set at liberty them that are captive. Because sons of God should not be captive. That's for slaves. That's not for sons. I want to share tonight with you, if you were that son that walked away, it is because you could, because you were free, because God is not in control of your life. If you want to turn back right now, just do it. If you stink like a pig, that's fine. Just say, God, here I am. Just turn around and face Him and see Him running straight towards you. If you feel that you're not good enough to be baptized in the Spirit, I've got news for you. You are. If you are born again, you are. Just receive Him, invite Him, and enjoy Him. If you feel that you're blind in certain areas, I've had that as a word for someone here tonight. Just lift your hand if it's you, if you feel blinded in a certain area. The word for you is that even though you are, there's recovering of sight with the Holy Spirit. So it stops right now. There's clarity, there's vision, and you'll see where God wants you. You'll step out into it, and you'll live in the abundant life that's going to make you happy. When God calls you, it's not for Him, it's for you, because He knows how He made you, so He knows where you'll be the happiest most purposeful, most impactful. He knows the adventure that He's created for you, and He wants you to live in that. I believe there's a few of you here with bruised hearts and emotions tonight. If that is you, just lift your hand, just as a token of receiving. No matter what it is, if it's old relationships, maybe it's yourself, maybe you can't forgive yourself tonight. Maybe you are still bruising yourself because of that, even if it's emotionally. God came to set you free. Jesus came to set at liberty them that are bruised. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Not partially, not some of the brokenhearted, all of them. All of the bruised are set free right now. And as soon as you are free, those wounds can heal. It's like those shackles. I just see those shackles on your arms. And those shackles are causing rashes. And they're just holding you back. And I want you to show you, if you look closely, there's no lock on those shackles. It's just a lie. As soon as you take your arms and your feet out of those shackles and walk out, those wounds will begin to heal right now in Jesus' name. That is what your emotions are like. Your heart is caught up and your mind is just caught up into lies and lies and lies and lies of who you are and that you're not good enough. That is a lie. Walk away. Just enjoy the healing power of Holy Spirit right now in that area. Just receive it. And see that healing taking place, like your skin just becoming like a baby's. Even there won't even be a scar. Because Jesus makes all things new. Just feel in my heart as well, there's someone here, you worried about a son that is far away. And God says that I'm watching. It's like a dad that looks out the window while his kids are playing outside. You might not see it, but God is there with you. He's watching with you. He's protecting. And it might not be the best place that your son is at, but it is because of his decisions. But God is there. And He's waiting for him. The moment he turns around, God is going to embrace him. Someone here tonight, you feel like you won't have food on the table in the next week. The shepherd feeds, the shepherd guides, the shepherd protects. Trust Him just for today, and then tomorrow you do it just for today, and then the day after you do it just for today. Let Him be your provider. Let Him give you wisdom to move and to start new things and to dream bigger and to go for it because you can. Because you are the most empowered being in this universe. Because the Holy Spirit is right inside of you.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.